Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing wide receiver snap reactions for week 13, heading into week 14 here. And this is where our money is going to be made. And all our time and investment is going to pay off. So I wanted to focus on some of the usage stuff, some of the expected point stuff. A lot of what you're going to hear referenced is stuff that has happened in the past 4 weeks. So if you've played four games, it's four games. If you've played three games because you had a bye or injury or anything, it's three games. I'm just using the last 4 weeks just as kind of an indicator barometer. And then there's some regular season stuff. So, and then individual things where it's specifically relevant, as in Arizona, DeAndre Hopkins returns 74% snap rate, 17 routes, actually led the team. So you sort of put him right back into a wide receiver one. They didn't throw the ball a ton. I think it was like 21 dropbacks. So it's 17, 21, 23 dropbacks, something like that. It was the highest number on the team, and it was a high percentage, basically about 80%. So if you'll find about where Hopkins is, and you know that he should be trending back here, assuming health and all that stuff, right? If he's progressing and practice reports and those sorts of things, like you feel fine where he's at, basically returning to his role. Green has 2/3 of snaps in the last three games. Rondale Moore is basically the wide receiver four. He's fallen beneath 45% of snaps in the last three games. He was one early on. It was interesting, but he's a good example of this. And like I will consistently err on the side of selling that profile, of selling the quick starter or buzz candidate or what have you early in the season. Oh, look, this guy's gonna vault up, you know, but he's buried. Like in reality, like he's actually a bit player in a much bigger scheme. And that's really what it felt like with him. Like I did the same thing with Elijah Moore, and I will miss a fair share. But the thing about that I've kind of learned about wide receivers is I don't think you miss big, right? Like it's rare that you miss super consequentially at wide receiver when you do that, when you're playing base rates and you're playing odds and that sort of thing. It's just a not super common thing. And even if you miss big, like selling a day two wide receiver, it's not like, even if you're on the quote wrong side of that, I don't think it's super penal and penalizing, right? You got to be careful when you say that on a podcast, but it's not a particularly penalizing or damaging outcome, right? Even if you had sold short on like Juju, like, yes, he sort of outproduced like a base rate or a density or anything like that you would probably ordinarily expect, right? He was on the right tail of all of that, sure. But it didn't kill you. You know what I mean? Like if you did it right, you know, if you did it, and that's it, probably an extreme example because he paid, you know, he was worth a first when you drafted him. But you get the point, right? If you're constantly sort of, you draft these guys at a discount, you're constantly shopping at a discount, and then you take a profit, right? That over and over and over again is good process, right? And that's, I think, you know, there will be people, and I will get this, and I think, you know, people ask me, hey, if we're going to go veteran wide receivers, how are we ever going to backfill when they retire or when they get older or when they age out? Like, it's not that we're going veteran wide receivers. It's just, we're not paying top price for rookie wide receivers or young wide receivers, right? Or unproven wide receivers. We'll take Brandon Ayuk, right? We take the, and more, right? This has been the right approach. And honestly, like this year's convinced me of it even more, and I will be on the super aggressive side of this now from now on. I believe this, and as the more and more like I've studied it this offseason in preparation for this 2020 edition book, 2022 edition book, the randomness and arbitrariness between profiles, right? Kadarius Toney, heck, Brandon Ayuk in his class, Jalen Waddle this year, right? I mean, we are horrible at picking between profiles. And when the market sort of makes a big spread there, it's always positive EV to be on the other side of it. So so all of those things, right? And then I think that, so that's super cheap to acquire them is sort of the process play on that. And then when they see an uptick in price, you sell them. And you've basically, at a low cost, you've taken an upside bet, as opposed to drafting like CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver 4, right? Like that's the difference. And I'll go through this a little bit more in the offseason. And I just totally went on a 5-minute bender about Rondale Moore when it was unnecessary. But you get the point. And I do think that question has popped up a bit, like, oh, how are we going to backfill? Like, we'll constantly backfill because we're just going to arb him, right? We're just going to take the last of a profile. We know that over time that works. And that's how we're just going to keep filling in the back end of our roster. And then, you know, as this goes on, right, our 12th spot's going to be better than anyone's 10th spot, right? And then our 18th spot's going to be better than anyone's 14th spot. And that's just going to keep compounding itself, right? And then we're going to be packaging up and up and up, and that's sort of how it goes. So I believe that more and more. I think that's important to say. But at the same time, flip them, right? Flip them. And especially if we're winning, if we're on the aggressive side of contending, or if we're in the business of winning this year, which we should almost always be, those are assets that, you know, I'm treating this like the NBA, right? If you're a contending team, you don't want to hang around. Like, having James Wiseman, if you're the Warriors, like, he's not helping you win, right? Probably not. I'm not picking on James Wiseman, but the common wisdom is that young guys don't come in and help particularly often. So instead of stashing very useful assets on your bench, flip them for guys that will use, that you can use to win now, right? And that's sort of the thing. So Elijah Moore might be the example of a one that actually bit me this year. But again, I packaged him. I only had a couple of shares. Again, it was like the last wide receiver. Like, I got him really late. That was the play. And it became very much that sort of thing. I'm going to flip for an asset that's going to help me right now. And I think, I can't remember exactly who I flipped him for, but it was a higher end wide receiver that you know was going to make more of a longer term difference, which is what I thought. So that's the play on Rondell, and this is just sort of coming back to it. So that's that. Christian Kirk, it's been erratic all over the place. Really steep drop in snaps the past 4 weeks: 96, 85, 73, 60. Which is concerning, because that sort of corresponds with Hopkins returning, with Ertz incorporating into the offense. AJ Green's sort of there, and as a result, you're sort of boxing out some of these ancillary wide receivers. So we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. I don't trust anyone probably besides Hopkins, Green, or Ertz in lineups here down the stretch. All right, we'll zip through more of these. I'm not going to take 7 minutes for each one. Russell Gage, wide receiver 20 in expected points per game in the past 4 games at 13.2 points. He's at 13 points per game actually produced. That is wide receiver 21. Tajay Sharpe's wide receiver 2 in usage, but he's massively underperforming. I'm just kind of out. Olamide Zaccheaus is sub 50% snap share in the past month, but actually saw an uptick to 61%. I'd be interested. It doesn't necessarily correspond with putting Tajay Sharpe out of business, but I'd be interested if that happens in sort of week 14, maybe you get to a position where week 15, week 16, if you're in desperation play, that Olamide Zaccheaus could actually play himself into a role that you could trust. I'm suspecting the answer to that is no, but I'm open to the possibility that it's possible. And honestly, they should go that route. Tajay Sharpe's not going to be the answer in Atlanta, right? This is another learning process for Dynasty. Tajay Sharpe's not going to be the answer in Atlanta. Find out if Olamide Zaccheaus is, right? Russell Gage is probably a winning player for you, or a helpful player for you, at least at some point along the line. And you got that because you just put him in there and let him play, right? Do the same thing with Olamide Zaccheaus. Tajay Sharpe has proven that he's not probably that guy. All right, so Bateman's 4th in routes this past week, which is not great. That's not good. He's playing behind Duvernay, he's playing behind Sammy Watkins, and he's playing behind Marquise Hollywood Brown. This is another one, right? Like, a lot of people want to take a lot of high bets. You know what? That's fine. Color me skeptical. And I think this is a good example of, like, we'll just take the cheapest guy because we don't know very much. We're not very good at sorting these guys out. And the market is born that. Right. And that's not, you know, that's not me being a nihilist. Right. That's reality. Right. That's fact based reality. That's, motivated skepticism, right? Informed skepticism. And that just has happened over and over again. And these patterns keep reappearing. You know, someone was talking about, do you play chess? And I used to play chess. But all chess is, and the interesting part about if you play, there's been studies done on like really, really good chess players. And if you play a completely unorthodox game, they tend to be like really, like they don't play to the right level of what they should. Like if you do something totally, totally out of the, like almost random, like it appearing random, chess players, like even grandmasters, really good ones, will struggle with that because chess is so much about pattern recognition, right? And this is a lot of what Dynasty is, right? Patterns just keep reappearing and you just kind of, you see them and you know, it's like a Pavlov's dog scenario. You just kind of know what the reaction is. So, so again, this with Bateman, it's a concern. Again, I do think, you know, continuing to pivot down the board, you know, taking 2-for-1 shots on profiles doesn't make a lot of sense in Bateman and, you know, Rondale Moore and Elijah Moore and Tony and Waddle this year. Good examples of that. Okay. And by the way, Marquise Brown, 33 in points the last 4 weeks. It's 11.1 expected, 15.5. So, he should be on the positive side of variance. Lamar's played horrible, so hopefully he'll bounce back here and be the beneficiary of Marquise Brown. I feel fine with Marquise Brown. I think you put Marquise Brown in lineups because, like, I think he's a winning player overall, and I think he's shown that pretty much throughout, you know, the past couple years. He's really put himself on that bend, and Lamar just has to play better. I think there's a ton of takeaways from Buffalo. Outside of the fact, you know, in week 13, it was bad. By the way, when you look back over the past 4 weeks, the best wide receiver in football in yards per route run, Gabe Davis, north of 4. So just keep an eye on that. Cole Beasley is going to be a cut in this offseason. He's wide receiver 86 in points per game, $1.5 million dead cap, $6.1 million cap saving. So I think he's good as gone. Diggs is wide receiver 4 in expected points per game over the last 4 weeks. He's wide receiver 6 in actual points per game at 19.5. So Sanders will be there. I think Gabe Davis could actually step into a bigger role. He's a flip guy in the offseason because I think they'll add to the position, but just keep that in mind. I think Beasley's as good as gone in the offseason. Carolina, free DJ Moore, 1.98 yards per route run on the season. That's 23rd. He has the 30th graded offense in PFF. Carolina is the 30th graded offense in PFF, ahead of only the Jets and the Texans. All DJ Moore does is produce on with horrible quarterbacks. So he's quarterback proof at this point, which is great. If he ever gets one, like, look out. But we know almost exactly who he is, which is a dominant player. He's a really good player and would be an even better player if there was a quarterback there that didn't try to drag him down. But I think his lowest yards per route run in his career is like 1.8, and that was his rookie year, and he's been basically above 2 the last 2 years. He's right at 2 this year. I mean, just a outstanding player. Wide receiver 24 in the last 4 at 12.2 points per game in PPR, 13.3 expected points per game, so he's actually underperforming a little bit. All right, Chicago here, this is incredible. Darnell Mooney is 15th in terms of points per game, actual points per game at 16.1 over the past 4. Expected points per game, 16.1. That's 11th at the position. Just incredible. Damir Bird is wide receiver 2 in routes at 98. Jakeem Grant, I think he's actually a desperation flyer. So 51 routes here over the past 4 weeks. However, most of them have come when Marquise Goodwin has actually been out. So he ran 34 routes the past week, which is basically just behind Bird at 39 and Mooney at 42. So I do think Jakeem Grant is interesting if Marquise Brown is out as a potential waiver wire guy. So just for what that's worth, pie in the sky type deal. We'll see if Fields is back. But like Dalton has played well enough to sort of he hasn't played himself out of the league, which I think a lot of dynasty and fantasy people would kind of hope, but he hasn't done that. So I don't know if he's going to be like a presumed week one starter at any point, but if he sort of settles into a Dallas backup situation from 2020 for the next 5 years, it wouldn't shock me at all. I'm not saying it's necessarily Dallas, but, you know, pick your team, right? I mean, you know, he's basically a younger, maybe less erratic version than Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's actually, frankly, won in his career. So I think he's an interesting one. All right, T. Higgins is at 14.8 expected points per game over the past four. That is good for wide receiver 15. Chase in that same time period, wide receiver 36, Boyd 41. Those guys are at 10.3 and 10.1 respectively. Over the past four, Higgins, so again, he's at 14.8 expected points per game, 18.6 actual points per game. So he's been one. Yeah, he's actually one that I included in a trade. Like I went up from Higgins to it was part of a bigger deal. I think it was Higgins and Ridley and maybe a first. It might have been another aspect to that trade that was like non-core asset level for Diggs and Hill. And I don't regret it. But like you sort of get the idea of like moving up. Like that's how I move up the board in terms of those guys, like those middle guys. Give me a star. Give me a star. Give me two of them. Give me all the stars. But that's sort of a continuing theme on this. Rondell Moore, like those types of guys, like those are actions that I'm taking. That's more stuff I'm trying to incorporate, and I will do a better job of incorporating those action pieces in the offseason. I do think it's worth mentioning where they sort of come up. Higgins has overperformed expectation. And honestly, Higgins was one of those guys for me where I bought him, like he was just the last guy. So I'm like, all right, well, I know what the, like, that is the playbook. It is just take the last one. Right? I take the last one of profile. I did that with him, and finally I sold him off for like an elite wide receiver. It took some time. I didn't really love the experience of holding him, but hey, he was like really good. Like that's, and he's overperformed what I expected of him. So good on him. Happy for him. I think in the meantime, Chase, you know, I mean, this is the arc of these things. And I will say, like, Chase very much strikes me like AJ Brown, very much strikes me like CeeDee Lamb. Like, I like the players, I hate the costs. Like, don't do that. Don't pay above, right? Don't do the Amari Cooper thing, right? The Amari Cooper thing, we should sort of start a glossary of these like player themes, which is don't pay a significantly over what they've done, because that's how you get jammed up, right? Like instead of like, just look at, you're going to pay basically low end wide receiver two expectation at a top three cost for Jamar Chase, when you could just pay wide receiver one overall cost for Justin Jefferson, who's playing as wide receiver one, right? Like, over the past month, like those are like, if you want to go young at the position, like do it in a way that doesn't like suboptimally hurt you, you know? And so that's the thing. That's, I mean, and we see this with Chase, like these are volatile, like, again, do we really expect him to be the best wide receiver in the league through 8 weeks? No, like that's not a reasonable expectation. So when that happens, what should our response be? Well, it should be to say, all right, like it's probably not this, right? Like our prior is we're not going to expect this. All of a sudden we see this and our prior should still be like, all right, like we know not to expect this. This crazy thing happened. Is it crazy or is it real? Like it's probably not totally real. And if it regresses 25%, it settles into being a really good player, but not what we should have been overpaying for, right? So I think that's a key thing. I think we understand that, but I do think it's worth mentioning. I think I'm preaching to a choir that's singing with me on that, not trying to convince anyone or persuasion on that necessarily. And Tyler Boyd, listen, he's wide receiver four. Like that's what he is. So, you know, basically a 10-point per game guy. All right, Landry, wide receiver 20 in expected points per game over the last four. That's 13.2. You feel okay with it? At 12.6 points per game in the same time span. So just a little bit underperforming, but wide receiver 23, it's fine. Like, put him in the lineup. Like, he's going to draw the targets, right? He's going to be a 7-8 target a game guy. Just play him, right? It's fine. Just put him in the lineup. And don't watch, right? Because that's kind of what you're doing with the Baker Mayfield experience right now. Don't feel great about anyone else. Maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones, but no one else has played three games in the past 4 weeks. So it's hard to trust anyone there. I do feel fine with Landry. Like if Landry's healthy, I'm putting him in the lineup and I'm playing him. And he's the perfect, like, he's the perfect wide receiver for, and even like, I don't feel like he doesn't bother me as a wide receiver three. I'd rather have him as like a wide receiver three or four than a wide receiver six. Cause he's not going to do anything for me as my six. I'm not going to put him in the lineup and he's not going to be an uptick guy, right? I'd rather use that roster spot. I mean, that other allocation, just put him in my lineup and, you know, use the other roster spots on running backs or, you know, higher or consolidate up the board, right? I'd rather take, instead of him being my wide receiver six, I'd rather make him my wide receiver four and trade off, you know, wide receiver three and four in front of him, or, you know, trade off pieces in front of him to sort of move up the board. You sort of get the idea, like, it's consolidation. Like, he's the perfect guy to sort of backfill as opposed to be a bench guy. All right, Gallup, 157 routes over the past four games. And he played all four of those games of the last 4 weeks. He's played in all four games. CeeDee Lamb has played in only three. He's got 85 routes during that time, so he's been a little banged up. He's wide receiver 9 in yards per route run on the season. But when you look at him, he's actually like in the 20s in terms of actual routes run. So he's top 10 in yards per route run. I think he's like 20, like low 20s in terms of actual like total routes. And then when you look at routes per game, he's in the 30s. So this is one where, again, you're paying. He's a very good player with okay volume, and you're paying top three pick for that. That does not equate. It simply doesn't equate. And so that's the one you got to be cautious with. Again, I know we're sort of out there on some of these, but there's no reason to pay that, right? And this dynasty to me has very much become a don't overpay for stuff game, and I think this is a good example of it. All right, Denver, last four, this is wild, 0.62 yards per route run for Cortland Sutton, 0.52 for Tim Patrick, so there's $90 million, 1.70 for Jerry Jeudy, which is planned on a rookie deal. Routes in that time span, because you have to double down on your mistakes, 98 routes for Cortland Sutton, 94 for Tim Patrick, drum roll please, 88 for Jerry Jeudy. So a solid, robust 3.6 points per game for Tim Patrick in the past month. So that's what you get for $90 million into Denver in 2021. Amon-Ra St. Brown, actually pretty interesting here. Over the past month, 24%, 17%, 16%, 29%, big walk-off touchdown against coverage that frankly made zero sense. I don't know. I was like, oh, all right, you play man under, sort of, you know, let the safeties take anything coming, you know, into the end zone. Like, you know, you're undercutting routes, and there you go, you got it covered. Perfect. And they played some sort of prevent defense from, like, the 8-yard line. I don't understand it. He ran, like, a curl, like an uncontested curl in front of Minnesota's defense. I'm sorry, Clint. I'm sorry. My bad, man. I'm not ragging on your team. I don't understand. I'm not ragging on you. I just don't understand what their coverage was. I know there's some other Vikings fans. I'm sorry, guys. I was rooting for them. Josh Reynolds, 13, 20, and 17%. So if you need a flyer in your, in a league here down the stretch, he isn't a horrible one to take a bet on. And maybe they're on a winning streak here. Brandon Cooks, 7.8 points per game expected over the past four. It's kind of fallen off the wheels a little bit there in Houston. They're going Tyrod back to Davis Mills. We'll see what happens, with that, or if they go someplace else in terms of or back to Tyrod. I still think you're okay to start him. He's going to see the big target share, but it's not. This offense is kind of struggling a bit, so. If you have other options, he's probably more in the wide receiver three range than he maybe was producing on the wide receiver two range earlier on. All right, 29, 20, 15, 25, 23, 36. Those are the target shares for Michael Pittman here over the past six games. That is 49 targets in six games, a robust 8+ targets per game. So again, he's a guy that we spotted earlier on in the midst of a breakout. He has broken out. So really good here. He's wide receiver 23 in expected points per game over the last four. He's underproducing that. So maybe some potential breakout, a little bit of regression breakout here over the back half of the season. I'm still like firmly on board the fact that he's very good. And if like he kind of settles out and maybe a disappointing end of the season, it might be a situation to buy him in the offseason. So pretty excited about that. Zach Pascal, wide receiver 2 over Hilton, but neither's really options you want to use. Hilton's basically like it's kind of one of those situations like if he comes on the field, you know it's a pass type of deal. So he's running a lower route share. Or sorry, he's running a lower snap share, but he's basically running pass routes. Laviska Shenault, north of 18% target share over the last 4, 27 targets in that span. Wide receiver 36 in expected points per game over the last 4. That's at 10.3. He's actually 7.4 points per game in that time span. So underperforming. Again, it's not super high level. This offense stinks. And if you need proof of that, 19 and 18%. Those are the Laquon Treadwell target shares the last 2 games. This is a confounding thing. And listen, again, if you don't listen to me about anything, whenever anyone tells you a quarterback is can't miss or generational or anything like that, they are lying to you. And Trevor Lawrence, right, he can be a great quarterback prospect. They miss a huge rate of the time. And I'm not saying he's going to miss, but putting him as high as they did, right? If there's anything that we avoided in the offseason, it was that. And I think we did pretty well this season. We'll get a review of that in terms of how we did in outcomes and stuff. But we're trying to get in a good direction. Avoiding stupid bets like that was a good reason, is a good way that we put ourselves in this spot. Tyreek Hill, this is incredible. Wide receiver, for the wide receiver position, Tyreek Hill, Week 13 was the first game since week 2 that he didn't have 7 targets. So he had at least 7 targets in every game since week 2. So that's just really, really high-end stuff. I mean, a high floor, high ceiling that goes along with it. Wide receiver 7 in expected points per game over the last 4, 17.6. So you feel fine with him. Like, just put it in the lineup and let Mahomes rip. Like, this thing's, you know, everyone's like, ah, they're broken. Like, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. I feel pretty confident in the fact that Tyreek Hill and Mahomes are still very good players, and we continue to see that out of Tyreek Hill. Keenan Allen's 8 target performance. Some of these in the back half of the alphabet are just incredible, right? That's how I'm doing these alphabetically. And so some of these stats are just amazing in terms of target stuff. Allen's 8 target week 13 performance was the worst target performance since week 6 when he had, and he had a week 7 bye. He's had 8 targets, was the second worst of the season. And it was tied with week 2 where he had 8 targets. Week 6 is the only one where he's been worse, and that was at 5 targets. He's wide receiver 5 in terms of expected points per game. Just a dominant player. The Rams, double-digit targets every week for Cooper Kupp except week 8 when he had 9 targets. It's a floor of 9 targets. Just incredible. Odell Beckham Jr., 73 routes. That's behind Kupp, who had 120, and Van Jefferson, who had 119, and that's over the past, it's over the past, I believe, 3 games since he's been there. So you're seeing, you know, he's been hurt a little bit integrating, you know, some of that was week 1, but I think it's what is crystal clear about this offense. Cooper Kupp for every snap, Van Jefferson for every snap, Tyler Higbee for every snap, not every snap for Odell Beckham Jr. So Ben Skowronek as well. But I think that it's a pretty clear thing. And listen, they need to get Odell Beckham Jr. involved, but he's hurt. He's still integrating in the offense. You got those problems. But yeah, I mean, I do think he's playable in a wide receiver 3 type level. And I think he's going to, you know, I think he's going to add an element to this offense that frankly they need. Hunter Renfrow, he's going to be one that's going to confront the biases that we have. And so Deontay Johnson's another one. But expected points per game, wide receiver 17 over the past 4 weeks. He's actually overperforming that for a week for a wide receiver 14 performance, 16.5 points per game over the past 4 weeks. Expected for 14 has 16.5, so that's good above expectation. 2.38 yards per route run over the past 4 weeks. He's north of 2 on the season in yards per route run. So 2.05. He's wide receiver 20. It's tough to trust anyone else in the offense, but you can, like, he doesn't profile. Like, if you were to look at him, you'd be like, all right. And I want to do a segment on this at some point, which would be like cartoon character or NFL referee, and just like give names. So some of the names are pretty amazing, but they sort of sound like Simpsons characters. But Hunter Renfrow, like if you were to do a version of like spot to picture, so it'd be like, all right, NFL player or like grocery boy at like your local grocery store. Renfrow, like, would probably people would pick him for that instead of NFL player, you know, top 20 producing wide receiver. But again, that bakes into his price, right? Like, why is Deontay Johnson and DK Metcalf have a huge difference in valuation? Why do Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf have a huge difference in valuation, right? It's because how they look. And this is going back to some of the Moneyball stuff I was discussing earlier in the week. Like, this is another example of that. So there's probably value on Renfrow. Again, I have a little skepticism about the underslide slot receiver being a sturdy profile, right? That would be the pushback that I would have. But I do think just by looking at him and sort of seeing him, and you know, when people look up his size, that hurts his price, no matter what his production is, right? His price will always come in below his production because of that. So I think that's something we need to wrap our head around and be conscious of. So I mentioned Jalen Waddle earlier. Lowest target share of the season was 13% in week 4. He's wide receiver 7 in points per game over the last 4 weeks. He's just an outstanding breakout rookie guy. Again, how much is he an outright wide receiver 1 in a good offense? I'm not sure, but like, isn't this, you know what this kind of feels like to me a little bit? And I've liked this player, so, and I haven't done enough statistical studies, so, and they're a little bit different, but Jalen Waddle and Jarvis Landry feel very similar in terms of the beginning of their career, where they came in and both in Miami, and that could be part of it, took over early on, non-traditional wide receiver 1 type performance. And you know what? They just kind of kept doing it, even though it wasn't what you would necessarily have put on paper in the DK Metcalf wide receiver 1 alpha looking guy type of role. But their offenses moved because they could get open. Waddle's really interesting in that light. So Devontae Parker's back. We'll sort of see what he can do. He's going to be potentially useful here for you down the stretch as well. Tua's playing really well. Albert Wilson, 19 and 20% target shares the last 2 weeks. So if you need a desperation guy, he's one that's interesting. All right, Justin Jefferson, 44 targets in the past 4 weeks. His target shares during that time, 30%, 29%, 27%, 34%, 27 points per game over the last 4 weeks. That's wide receiver 1, just incredible performance. He is wide receiver 1 in expected points per game over that time, 22.7. So he's overperforming an extremely high expectation. That is just an awesome, awesome combination for you when it matters. Adam Thielen out. I think KJ Osborne, potential addition here down the stretch. If you need a guy, he's a guy. You know, I'm going to try and figure out a way to roll through Scott Fishbowl with essentially without a wide receiver 2 or 3 of any value. And that's going to be one of the wells. Albert Wilson, you know, that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to try to figure that out. But try and get a couple guys that maybe can ring a long bell and make a difference. So hopefully Osborne will be one of those guys for me. The Patriots, week 13 was a wasteland. Jacoby Myers, 90 targets on the season. He's north of 22% target share. Again, that sort of puts him on pace for about $120 in terms of targets. Him and Bourne are basically double-digit target guys. I don't know what the overt ceiling is. I actually like Jacoby Myers, and I think he's going to be an interesting, you know, if he's sort of in like a wide receiver 4 or 5 cost, I think that's really interesting. And I'll be fascinated by where he goes this offseason. All right, so New Orleans, we take a lot of losses, and we, you know, listen, I sort of preach we don't know stuff, but hey, I will say this. When we say, hey, this guy's like pretty good, like look at the efficiency on this guy, and then he breaks out, and we're like, yeah, see, like we were really on this. And then it was like, and we were weeks ahead of like, hey, this guy should be used more. Like he's really high efficiency, he's playing really well, and like a limited sample. And then he gets popped for steroids. Right. Like, I think that's a good process because that is definitely showing that, like, hey, we're sort of forward leaning on the uptick in progress. So, he got suspended. I think it was performance. It was something. It was drug related. I think that's 3-game suspension. So, we'll take that as a compliment of our forward seeking process. So, Traquan Smith, 7, 8, 5, 7 targets. He's basically the only guy that's of potential value there. In the receiving game, it's a pretty bad wasteland right now. I think Deontay Harris is interesting as a potential stash guy, and a lesser man's version of Tyreek Hill. And it's worth noting that I'll have to dig into a little bit more, but just at first glance, I was probably have done more if he wasn't suspended because I think he was going to be a big waiver wire guy this week. But at a quick glance, he's not one that. As just like a 60% deep threat guy, or just a 80% screen guy. He has a variety of stuff all over the place. So he's more of an intermediate guy, just at a 30,000 foot view of his profile. So interesting, and that's where he actually short and intermediate is actually where he scored his long touchdown from this past week. So pre suspension. The Giants' health is a watch, obviously. 4 wide receivers between 9.9 and 11.1 target share, which is just an incredibly tight range. Darius Slayton, Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard, guys banged up coming in and out of the lineup. It's not great. I think when they play, if two of them play, like they're top 40 relevant because they're just if two of them aren't playing and two of them aren't, like that's just kind of how the targets are going to find themselves. I think that's a situation you could potentially play here down the stretch if they're available. But I wouldn't guarantee. We can't guarantee what that's going to be from week to week at this point. All right. Target shares for Elijah Moore over the past 3 games, 28, 33, 32%. So up there at 30% of the offense here for the past month, basically. Double-digit target share since his week 6 bye. CD's out for the year with a hernia surgery. Moore is wide receiver 10 in points per game over the past 4 weeks. So really good performance there despite there being some changing quarterback situations. Like that's a really good sign for me. Devonta Smith, lowest target share of the season has been 13.6, but he's only got 81 targets. So when you sort of look at that, like, okay, like, yeah, he's a floor involvement. The problem is just from a volume perspective, the floor is kind of low. So that's kind of where we're at. Like, I think he's going to be a solid, like, check the box guy. And I was doing some – I'm doing some work today, and I'm looking at – and I will cycle back through this. We'll do an early – I've got – I will probably, it's funny because I was planning out some early season, off season content, and I could literally record a month's worth of content, like 3 days. I've just got like all these like things that I just want to cover. And just sort of just record podcasts for like a week and just have like a month worth of stuff just because there's a lot of different profiles I want to look at and some stuff stacking on top of each other. But this is one of them, like guys above 1.5 yards per route run, first round wide receivers. Really high hit rate. Guys below that, really low hit rate. So you sort of look at that as a threshold. Again, if you're really close to that, I think that's obviously telling you like it's but guys typically, when I looked at it, like guys weren't. Like it was very, they were kind of on either side of it pretty comfortably. It wasn't like a 1.51 versus 1.48. It was very much like kind of spread out. And then we can use our judgment in the middle there. But it's a big deal. Like that stat over 100 routes, even if you're playing in a relatively small sample, like that's a big deal stat. So Devonta Smith's playing over that now, so that's a good, that's good. And a lot of, some of these guys are as well. So we'll see where like Bateman and some of those guys fall in. It'll be interesting to watch for it, but that's a really early indicator of success or flip, flip guys. Deontay Johnson and the Why can't I get the respect of DK Metcalf? Because I'm short and my hands are small. 32, 37, 20, 26, 30, 34, 35. Those are his target shares. He's got 8 games a season with 30% or more target share. Just incredible. He's 25.8 target share. Wide receiver 4 in the last 4 weeks in points per game. Wide receiver 2 in expected points per game. Wide receiver 7 in points per game on the season. So really good performance there for Deontay Johnson. Again, Chase Claypool looks a lot more like a wide receiver 1, but playing in a much lesser role than Deontay Johnson is. And we'll see, you know, what the quarterback situation looks like next year. But I'm really interested in Deontay Johnson as an ARB guy. You know, if we can ARB off of some of these higher price guys for a guy like Deontay Johnson and picks, like, and working a pick upgrade or sort of figure out a way to go from higher end wide receiver to Deontay and non-core asset to Deontay Johnson and core asset, like, I think that's a really winning proposition, like, in January. So we'll have more of that to come. All right, Seattle, speaking of DK Metcalf, who I've been haranguing, it's not his fault. It's the market's fault. Wide receiver 25 in points per game season long. He's 26th in points per game expected over the past 4 games at 12.4. He's at 6.5 in actual points per game during that time. So pretty significantly underperforming that. Lockett, 27th in terms of points per game on the season. He's 24th in terms of expected points per game over the past 4 weeks at 12.7. He's actually overperforming that. So he's at 13.1. So if you're just blaming DK Metcalf struggles on Russell Wilson, it ain't hurting Lockett. So I think there's probably some of it is on Wilson, but I don't think all of it is. All right, San Francisco, we're watching Deebo Samuel's injury situation. Brandon Ayuk, notably, 20% target share since week 8. So that's each week since week 8, he's been over 20%. That's really good. He's 10.1 points per game here, 10.1 in expected points per game, and he's at 12 points per game actually produced. So it's not that much different, and it's not that high. But I think it's worth noting that even if it's a smaller sample size, he's taking a big chunk of the offense there. And I think he's getting back, right? And this might be kind of the problem with him, is he's more of a – like, he might profile in some ways as a wide receiver 1, but he actually is on a wide receiver 3 type of volume. Chris Godwin is crushing it, 8.8 targets per game. Like, his target share when AB has been out since week 7 has been 28, 29, 24, 12, 15, 33. So really robust there. Wide receiver 12 in points per game over the last month at 17.2. He's at 17.4 expected points per game during that time period. Wide receiver 8, so he's performing right on expectation. You'll take that. Wide receiver 19 for Mike Evans during the past month. He's at 14 points per game. He's expected for 12.1 points per game. So right about at expectation. A couple more here. Julio Jones returning. So he's at a 5 target per game pace. Again, that was with him in and out of lineup hurt and everything. They tried to rest him up and, like, get him back, get him ready. Now's the time. Like, again, this is perfect. Wouldn't it be great if he came out with like 10 targets in week 14, was healthy, looked great, revitalized, like, they basically went load management on him, like, all right, Julio, like, we need you basically for 2 months, go. And that, like, perfectly coincides, like, he gives us all the indication, like, hey, I'm ready to go here down the stretch. That would be awesome. Week 14, really rooting for Julio. We want to see it. Like, give us 10 targets, like, 8 catches, buck 20, couple touchdowns. Like, really make us feel good about this thing. I'll settle for less, but make us feel really good. McLaurin, wide receiver 30 in expected points per game. I still think he's really good. And actually, Heineke's playing pretty well. So some notable things there. I'm not going to read this. I prepped this out for you and just so I had it for reference. But some interesting things here. Mooney cracks the top 12 in target share on the season at 25.6. He's at 10 Diggs is at 12 for what it's worth. Brandon Cooks is at 5 at 26.1. Kupp is 1. Adams 2. DJ Moore's 3. Keenan Allen's 4. Diggs 5. Deontay Johnson's 6. McLaurin's 7. I said I wasn't going to do this. Now I'm doing it. Debo is 8. Tyreek Hill 9. Mooney 10. Justin Jefferson 11. Diggs 12. And then targets so far in the season total. Kupp, Hill, Keenan Allen, Deontay Johnson, Devontae Adams, Jalen Waddle, DJ Moore, Justin Jefferson, Diggs, Chris Godwin, Terry McLaurin, and Hollywood Brown. So those round up your top 12s in terms of your stats. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I know I went a little deep and got a little strategic here. A little bit too much coffee to get me through the week 14 preparation probably is the culprit. So I'm prepping this. I'm doing the show just before the Football Guys show this week. So if you liked what you heard and the pace in which you heard it, check out that one. It should be a barn burner. All right, until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.